Who's willing to say something? Right, right. Who's afraid to say something? Who's going to come out against or for? You know what I mean?
Yes. And
the coalition, is that a word?
Yeah.
Has already occurred.
Were you looking for coalition or coalescing?
Coalescing is
okay,
the word.
Okay, there you go. You just combined them. Good.
Live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at the Avenue in downtown Milwaukee, this is Wisconsin's Morning News. Here's Eric Bilstad and Vince Petrano.
A12 on Wisconsin's Morning News. President Biden this morning desperate to change the narrative. Going on 2 weeks now since his disastrous debate performance. We'd like to rather the focus not be on his cognitive health and his stamina, but to capable world leader. And on the latter front, President welcomes European leaders to Washington today, kicks off a days-long NATO summit. Get to more on this in a moment, but this is happening right now. Is this meeting with the House and Senate Democrats?
Yes. Some of the top Democrats have been walking into a building in Washington, D.C. There's lots of cameras and media on hand. The clicks are being taken as they walk in behind closed doors to discuss this very matter.
Okay, more on that meeting here in a moment. Let me get you caught up, though, on this NATO summit. Here's ABC's M. Nguyen.
The president begins 3 days of meetings, speeches, and dinners today. He'll open the NATO summit with remarks followed by a dinner for more than 30 NATO leaders. Sources say the White House hopes the summit will showcase Biden's leadership. One administration official says this event is ideal for the president, but the summit, no doubt, to be overshadowed by those calls for Biden to drop out of the race and the looming possibility of a second Trump presidency. Trump once called NATO obsolete.
I think it's really interesting what these world leaders might be saying amongst themselves. They're seeing and hearing and reading the same stuff we are. In fact, they're going to get a lot more of it now that they're spending 3 days in Washington.
So there's that guy, or we can work with this guy, is basically what they have to decide.
Love to know what they're saying amongst themselves about President Biden, not just his prospects of winning this second term. I've mentioned this a couple of times. We've been really focused, and Democratic lawmakers have been very focused on, can he win, can he win, can he win? Okay, but what does next year at this time look like? What does 2 years at this time look like? If he were to win, his ability to govern, and for these NATO leaders, they have to be thinking and talking about that. And they're going to be in the mix of this news cycle now for days right there in Washington, which will continue to focus on calls, even perhaps this morning, from fellow Democrats on the president to step aside in the presidential race, allow for a different nominee, and questions about his health.
Has the president been treated for Parkinson's? No. Is he being treated for Parkinson's? No, he's not. Is he taking medication for Parkinson's? No.
White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre there. She was taking questions for the press corps about visitor logs that show a neurologist who is a Parkinson's expert visited the White House 8 times over an 8-month span. Jean-Pierre refused to elaborate. She would not answer whether that doctor ever personally evaluated the president. Whether he did or whether he didn't, that's not the question and answer session you want.
No.
Ever, much less, you know, a few months out from the election. Some additional clarification from the White House came out late Monday night. So this would be after Karine Jean-Pierre's comments there. ABC's Lionel Moyes on that.
The president's doctor released a late night letter after the White House press secretary refused to say why a Parkinson's expert visited the White House 8 times in 8 months. Dr. Kevin O'Connor said the specialist was there to see military personnel. He also confirmed that same neurologist examined Biden for each of his annual physicals and reiterated that they found no signs of Parkinson's.
I don't understand that. I don't know about military personnel at the White House, whatever, but that's their statement.
And it sounds like this guy's been to the White House before,
yes,
too, pre-Biden. If you were advising the Biden campaign, what would you tell them? This has gone on now for, what, nearly 2 weeks now?
Yeah, I mean, it seemed the strategy, and I probably would have post-debate advised them to take the strategy that they have. All right, you got to talk about it. You got to address it. You can't pretend it didn't happen. Go ahead and say, yeah, not a good night, not a strong debate. I'm up to it. Go ahead and take those questions, answer those questions. That seems not to be working. So I guess now, a week and a half out, I would say let's pivot. Let's just turn the page, like act like it's not happening. Like, we tried this whole, okay, we'll engage on the issue of health and stamina and all those things. Instead, let's act like it's not happening. I'm focused on NATO today.
Get NATO going.
I've got all these world leaders here. That's what we're doing. I'm running the country here.
Make sure you got yourself in front of cameras, shaking hands with some NATO leaders.
But then, okay, if that's your strategy, it's got to look good. You got to hit it out of the park.
Yeah.
ABC also reporting today, as we've indicated, CNN had some live pictures of this happening. House and Senate Democrats set to meet behind closed doors this morning. They're talking about a path forward in the Biden campaign. Get you a few of these folks. Senator Dick Durbin, Democrat, Illinois.
What's your level of confidence in President Biden right now?
It's high, but I understand the reality of the challenges that he faces and we face since the debate.
And Senator Tim Kaine, Secretary Clinton's running mate, if you remember, he was the vice presidential nominee in 2016 for the Democrats of Virginia.
Joe Biden is a patriotic guy who always puts the country over himself, and I'm completely confident that that's what he's going to do, and he'll do that, and I'll support him.
But what does that mean, Senator? Is the patriotic thing to do to step aside, or is the patriotic thing to do to continue running?
Right.
Kind of, you get the sense some of these lawmakers hedging their bets. You don't want to be the person that came out against the nominee, then he continues to be the nominee and perhaps even wins, and now you, what, went behind him? That's not good for your next 4 years.
And at the same time, if you were to say, no, I'm with him, and then he decides to step down, that's, I mean, the way these news cycles work and how quickly everyone pivots, it wouldn't even be thought of. Well, you said yesterday you were supporting him staying. Well, I mean, anything's
the
possible.
The Washington now. Pivot, right, takes
right.
24
yeah. It's not
well,
even
that was yesterday,
hours.
But here we are. Right?
It takes 2 hours.
Yes. I'm here to talk about today.
Gretchen Whitmer, the governor of Michigan, has been in the news cycle a lot. She's selling a book. She is.
Right, she is.
She has been in the small list of potential names who could perhaps run for the presidency if Biden were to step aside. And she was asked about it, and she was also asked about this meeting taking place.
I respect the conversation that's happening, and certainly I think what we've seen from the president is an eagerness to get out and about. He's going to be in Michigan later this week. He's getting all across the country. I think he's shown that he's got the energy, and he's ready to take this on.
So she is standing with the president as he continues to vow to stay in the race.
Until she's not. Right.
Which could happen.
Sure.
Or could not.
Do you expect? So we were trying to monitor whether or not there would be some, you know, was there a public aspect to this closed door meeting, meaning after these senators and congressmen and women emerge from the closed door, is there going to be a news gaggle?
Stand together and say,
here's what we decided.
We stand behind.
Yes.
Yeah, because I don't really think, to be perfectly honest, I don't really think they have any say in the matter. I mean, what are they going to say? You expect these leaders to come out and say, hey, you know what? We really think the president should step aside and let Kamala Harris or someone else run? No, they're not going to say that. That'd be a behind-closed-door meeting that would take place with the commander-in-chief and other Democratic caucus leaders. They're not going to
do that. That's an interesting point. The other thing that I was thinking about this morning is you've had Republicans divided on a number of issues in the last number of years. You know, pick your issues, some to the far right, some more centrist, you know, and you've had the bickering in the House. We threw out this House Speaker. We almost threw out the other House Speaker. It took us forever to get there have been divisions within the Republican Party in terms of party politics over the last any number of years. You don't typically see this from the Democrats. Right? They line up. They have a unified message on whatever thing that it is. And for there to be these separations, these pockets of dissent, kind of new, not new all time, but certainly new in recent times, I feel like, from the Democrats at the national level. So it's interesting to watch how will it play out? Who is brave enough to come out and say what he or she really thinks? Who continues with these behind closed doors meetings, but then leaks
but
stuff?
Then you can, everything you're saying just there could have been said by the Republicans with Trump. Who's willing to say something?
Right, right.
Who's afraid to say something? Who's going to come out against or for? You know what I mean?
Yes.
The coalition, is that a word?
Yeah.
Has already occurred.
Were you looking for coalition or coalescing?
Coalescing is
okay,
the word.
Okay, there you go. You just combined them. Good. Strategery.
But that's already happened
to
a certain extent on the Republican side. It just now, it's chaotic, if you will, on the Democratic side.
Fascinating. It's happening again today with the backdrop of the NATO summit. All these European leaders here. Zelensky's here from Ukraine. Yep. Obviously, a lot of issues that they have to talk about there. You know, the happiest guy on the planet is right now is Vladimir Zelensky.
You think so?
So glad to be back in America, right? Treated well, comfortable. I mean, his capital city was bombed the other day, like missiles hitting the capital city. Yeah. So he's happy to be here. How long is this summit? 8:22 on Wisconsin's Morning News.
All the hotels gearing up for a busy run, which has already really begun, but will really ramp up in the next couple of days, Vince, with the RNC kicking off here in Milwaukee. And one hotel in particular already getting attention and could get more even during the RNC, the Hyatt Regency Downtown. You may recall late last month, Devante Mitchell, a man allegedly entered the women's bathroom at that hotel, was taken out by security guards who then held him face down, and he ultimately died after that altercation. Well, now, nationally known civil rights attorney Benjamin Crump in Milwaukee on Monday calling for charges to be filed in this case. There is some video of this. Again, Mitchell allegedly entered the women's bathroom. These guards took him out, held him face down. Crump was on our sister station, 101.7 The Truth, on Monday, telling host Tori Lowe that excessive force was used. He says one of the guards knelt on him, much like what happened with George Floyd.
Everybody should have trained police and quasi-police authorities that you don't put knees on necks and backs because it causes asphyxiation. It causes people to suffocate. Well, they did it even worse than that. They took his shirt, his hoodie, and put it over his head.
Yes, I saw that.
He couldn't even really talk, so you know, much less breathe. I mean, you hear him say, struggling to say please and I'm sorry while his sound is muffled. And when a man is saying, please help me, you got him.
Right.
Now, these security guards have been suspended for the time being. Again, they're not officers. These are security guards. Milwaukee police had been investigating the case, but as of now have not called it a criminal investigation. Crump telling 101.7 The Truth, he intends to keep the story in the news with the RNC coming right into town right here in the next couple of days.
I think it's interesting. We've talked about this in other stories as well, because we have a shoplifting problem across the country. And we've talked about, you know, so many people have texted in, well, you need to have armed security at some of these stores. Okay, fine. But then what are the rules of engagement? What do we allow those security teams to do? How far can they go in terms of physically detaining people? If they're armed, when do they get to deploy their weapon?
Yeah, a couple of those incidents have turned deadly in Milwaukee over the years.
Do we have Dr. Ken tomorrow?
We do.
Former Milwaukee Police Department, host of the afternoon show, Dr. Ken Harris, joins us tomorrow at 6:50. We'll break him down on that, right?
No, absolutely.
I'm sure he's got something to say.
Absolutely.
8:29 on Wisconsin's Morning News.
Big day in Santa Fe, New Mexico. Jury selection begins this morning in the trial of Alec Baldwin, the actor charged with felony involuntary manslaughter. This over a deadly movie set shooting from 3 years ago.
Today, prosecutors and defense attorneys will try to narrow down a jury pool to 12 jurors in Alec Baldwin's involuntary manslaughter trial as it gets underway. It's been nearly 3 years since the onset shooting death of Russ cinematographer Helena Hutchins. Baldwin was holding the gun when it fired, but maintains his innocence, saying he did not pull the trigger.
So the trial expected to last about 2 weeks. Again, he faces 18 months in prison if convicted. Now, there was a huge ruling in this case on Monday that could make it more difficult for the prosecution. ABC's Mola Lenghi walks through that.
There was a pretty significant development in Monday's pretrial hearing. The judge ruling that Baldwin's role as a Rust movie producer is not relevant to the trial, only his role as an actor. The prosecution really trying to take two bites out of the same apple. You know, they wanted to be able to argue that Baldwin was negligent, one, as a movie producer, creating that reckless and unsafe atmosphere that led to the shooting. And they also wanted to be able to argue that Baldwin was negligent as the actor who was holding the gun.
Yeah, so that basically means prosecutors can't use that evidence. So they had evidence of him saying, come on, let's go, let's go, let's go, like rushing the crew, cursing and whatnot, suggesting that it was sloppy.
That he was the one helping to foster that reckless environment.
Correct. Okay. So now they're going to focus mainly on the gun. And you remember what he said? He says that it misfired, that he never pulled the trigger. Prosecutors say that's impossible. But he had told ABC and he's told others as well, the actor has it. No, I didn't pull the trigger in this case. You're trained not to do that. Now, there is video that I believe they'll show because they showed this during the last trial of him pointing the gun around, carelessly kind of pointing it as he directed and told people where to go or was giving some type of direction on the set. So the gun's going to get all the attention. Now, who does that help? Well, Mola says, not sure.
Now the prosecution has to, you know, in addition to proving Baldwin's guilt, they've also have to prove in this trial that in all of that testing and analysis of the gun, I mean, whether it was, you know, taken apart and put back together in that testing, the prosecution has to prove that the gun was not affected in all of that, in addition to proving that Baldwin was negligent.
So they'll hope to get the opening statements in tomorrow. They're hoping they can get all the jury seated today. You may recall the weapons expert on set, Hannah Gutierrez. She's already been convicted earlier this year of manslaughter. She is sentenced to 18 months in prison.
And then the big question is still yet to be answered is he going to testify?
Yeah.
And no one has said one way or another. I guess maybe that's one of those things where they have to feel out where the trial's going.
Right.
His legal team.
I mean, as an actor, you'd think that he could do it, right?
He would be strong on the stand,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm. And believable. He starts doing his Trump impersonation. Would that help or hurt his cause?
Probably not ingratiate himself in the court of law.
Right.
8:43 on Wisconsin's Morning News. In the Storm Team forecast, if you're listening closely, see the chance of showers, light rain possible late today into the overnight hours. And that's going to be the remnants of what was once Hurricane Beryl. What do they say on the latest of Beryl? Houston hardest hit. A lot of folks without power.
A few million still without power this morning.
I wrote it down here. 2 million people still without power this morning. Several deaths linked to various weather conditions caused by that storm. It is now weakened back into, first it goes down to tropical storm, now it's a tropical depression, what's left of it. But what that rain chance for tonight in our area is the remnants of Hurricane Beryl.
Yeah.
And so it'll sweep just to our south. We were on earlier with Storm Team 4 Chief Meteorologist Brian Nisnansky asking him about, like, so are we able to see that to some degree?
This one is no longer, but it is going to bring a pretty good swath of, like, heavy rainfall just to our south. So we will keep an eye on that. It looks like the heavy swath of rain will be as close as Chicago and then work its way into lower Michigan, whereas we're probably just going to be right on the fringe of it. So that's the difference between maybe 4 or 5 inches of rain and maybe a quarter inch or so of rain.
Have you ever been able to cover a hurricane, Niz, up close?
I have not. No, I have not. When I was in college, there was Hurricane Rita it was after Katrina. It was a big one that was going to affect the Gulf Coast, and we really started to have serious plans of, like, overnight road tripping it, heading down there to like be in the hurricane, like tornado chasing, but hurricane chasing. But then all of a sudden there started to be nightmare like type stories coming on the news of, like, people evacuating and not being able to get out and the road network being terrible. And we were like, you know, as irresponsible as we were as college kids, we were like, yeah, this isn't a good idea.
Right.
To clog that up even more.
You know, we were talking is about that. Governor hurricane cover and tornado chasing are very different things.
Very different.
And is, you know, as a meteorology student, and some of those folks who are, like, professional storm chasers who know what they're doing largely are able to avoid putting themselves in harm's way. I mean, they're still close to stuff, but you can avoid a twister. Mm-hmm. You can't avoid a hurricane if you're in it. You're either in it or you're not, right? So very different scenarios. I mean, I've covered a number of tornadoes always after the fact here in Wisconsin, and some of them were outstate. And I remember, you know, what was the one years ago? It was Siren. So northwest part of the state, kind of near Rice Lake, that area. And you go into the hardest hit area, and There's damage all over town and the power's out and things like that. But we stayed 10 miles away outside of town. We're at a hotel. The gas station's up and running. Everything's fine.
So we got power.
Right. So, you know, your focus of damage is so much more limited in a tornado. And around that area, you still have other spots that are fully functioning. In a tornado, man, you could have huge amounts of places that are without power, without fuel, without food.
Right.
You can have flooding, all sorts of different things. So in terms of what, you know, what I'd like to see one day, love to see a Twister someday. I'm with somebody who's educated and could take me storm chasing or something. That I would do. Hurricane, no thank you.
Well, think too about just the evacuation numbers. The number of people that are trying to get out of some of these areas. I mean, sometimes they have the mandatory evac.
Yeah.
So you're opening every lane to get people out.
Have you seen what happens in the Keys, though? They turn the one roadway in and out to an out only.
It's all outbound?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's all outbound. And so if you don't, you know, nobody goes down for those obviously, for that time period. But yeah, it's just everything is outbound.
And you don't want to put, I mean, I guess there's some journalistic value in having folks near the hurricane, you know, when it makes landfall and things like that. I suppose I go back and forth on that. Some of these become absolute clown shows where people are holding on to signs and, you know, that's silly.
Or they fake it.
There's that. You also have to think of first responders. You put them in harm's way if they have to come out and bail you out or rescue you or something like that. So you got to be, even from a journalistic standpoint, you got to be cautious about how you approach that.
And it's hard to like see. I mean, I told you earlier about being in that tornado in Williams Bay a couple of weeks ago. And even that, the wind gusts were not even close to what a hurricane can be. And that was intense.
So unsettling,
like,
huh?
Yeah. So how much are you going to see if you're going to go down there to like experience the hurricane? I mean, that thing's going to knock you over and or you're going to get hit by something at some point.
I think there was a little stretch there when I was at 4 where we got into this, let's send people to the hurricane. Merck went, didn't he?
Yeah, I know.
Can't remember which one, but I know we sent him down there. He said that was a terrible experience, as well you would expect.
Like, where do you go after it comes ashore, too?
That's the thing.
Find a parking structure to sit in.
Right. Good for you.
Waffle House.
Not pleasant.
Waffle House. Yeah.
Well, that's good anytime. 852 on Wisconsin's Morning News.
WTMJ, W277CV, and WKTI HD2 Milwaukee. From the Annex Wealth Management Studios. This is News Radio WTMJ, a Good Karma brand station.
WTMJ forecast sponsored by Dave Drake Camp Heating, where your comfort is their family's tradition. High of 79 degrees today. Getting that shower or rain chance. Moving in later today, should be south of the city in large part. And tonight's low down to 67. As we hand it off to WTMJ's Political Power Hour and Steve Scafidi, this closed-door meeting between House and Senate Democrats continues in Washington. They're debating the future of the Biden candidacy here for president. Nothing yet coming out.
CNN reporting that they have not reached a consensus, although I don't get the impression that they were all just expecting to like vote on this and come out and say, okay, here's what we're going to do. But if they do, then that would make some significant news. And my guess would be you would anticipate they'll likely come out and say, for now, we're putting our support behind the president, right? They're not.
And to that, right, you would expect House and Senate leaders on the Democratic side to say, all right, no more.
Yeah, let's
move on. No more
leaks,
no more whatever. Like, if we're behind them, then we're behind them. I want everybody in line and everybody all in.
Now, who knows if that's what's going to happen, but that would be that's what I think most are anticipating will be said.
We did have a lengthy conversation about this just at the top of the 8 o'clock hour today. I do think this is interesting. You know, we talked about this issue that the Democrats are facing. You got a bunch of texts complaining, well, Biden, what about Trump this? What about Trump that? Trump lies, Trump that. Both sides do this. Like, your argument can't always be when you deal with your problem of, well, the other guy. Like, Democrats definitely have an issue here. And I'm not saying Republicans don't with the former president, but like, can't have either side always saying, yeah, well, look at their guy. He's bad too. Well, what about your guy? What about your issues? Clearly, they think they have something to deal with. We'll see what comes out of this meeting, if anything. WTMJ Political Power Hour with Steve Scafidi is up next.